B-Pod Studios.
Get the Sports Hub. Get Toucher and Rich. Download the Sports Hub app today.
Meek Mill, who has become a friend, and, you know, ever since we played a small part in helping him get out of jail and where he was unfairly treated, in my opinion. Anyhow.
This is a rapper, right?
Yes. Yeah. I assume you're right.
Yeah.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Don't ask. Don't be a square around Rob. Around RKK.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I assume he's a rapper. All right, get this jabroni out of here.
Yeah, jackass. You assume.
Yeah, you assume. I mean, what do you think he is? Some sucker MC? All right, Rich, the Super Bowl has come and gone, but they had mic'd up the coaches.
Yep.
During the Super Bowl, and you got to hear some of the insight of what was going on during the course of the game. And what do we have for the people?
I love when they do these because, you know, usually in years past, it's been kind of funny. Like, you know, Rob Gronkowski after the game always says something ridiculous. And, you know, you're hearing Tom Brady on the sidelines has made for some, you know, pretty good sound bites. But this go around, it's completely different. Yesterday, we played clips of Bill Belichick when they ended up winning the game. And for the first time that I can remember, he was jumping around the sidelines, hugging people, yelling, "We're champions, we're champions." Now, maybe my memory is foggy, but I don't remember him ever being that expressive on the sidelines at the end of the game, yelling, "We're champions." I've seen him go up and say, "I love you, man, you're the best, you're great." But this was like a completely different Belichick from years past. Am I wrong in thinking that?
No, you're not.
Okay,
no.
So that part of it was kind of refreshing. However, the other thing that I thought was interesting was the difference between Sean McVay and Bill Belichick. As we mentioned, Sean McVay, obviously extremely young, youngest coach to ever make it into the Super Bowl.
He was the youngest coach ever when he was hired.
Yeah, because he ended up being younger than Gruden, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so here's Bill Belichick. The difference between Bill Belichick and Sean McVay, this is when they're talking before the game even starts, both of their opinion of the dome being either open or closed. If you remember, in Atlanta, the Mercedes-Benz Stadium has this
screw-off top.
It's like a robot-type thing. Matter of fact, my friends call it Megatron's anus because it just like is a hole that opens and closes with like these big robotic panels. And here is your first voice you'll hear is Sean McVay, and the next voice you'll hear for that, of course, is Bill Belichick.
I feel good, man. This is going to be fun.
Yeah, it is.
How about this, huh?
Good spot. I guess they're going to open the roof for a little bit.
They said they're going to open up. Yep, that's what they told me.
John.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Now, we're closing the roof, right?
Yeah. Supposed to be closed right at kickoff.
What does that mean? How about before kickoff?
No. They wanted to try to time the kickoff with the Oculus closing. I'm going to delay it a little bit. I would prefer this completely closed.
Because there's a win factor now that
as soon as the flyover goes, it starts to close. How long it takes, I think it's less than 8 minutes.
All right, so it takes 8 minutes to close it. They're going to close it after the flyover. I don't know if it's going to be closed or not, so why don't we just kick that way?
Just go that way and say,
if we get it, we get it. Right. If we don't, we don't.
That way there's no last minute decision.
All right.
And he's rolling his eyes while talking to the ref, just like, oh, we're going to close. He goes, are you going to close it before or after the kickoff? Well, it takes like 8 minutes, and he's just like you got to be kidding me. And then he goes, walks over and talks to his assistant coach. He's just like, all right, I don't know if they're going to close it or not going to close it. And he's looking up and going, I guess we'll have to kick this way because of the win factor. And meanwhile, McVay's just like, hey, I heard they might keep it open for the game.
Yeah, Parcells was like that too. And Belichick obviously picked this up from him. Parcells, when he was the head coach here, used to walk the field before the game and judge the wind currents from each side of the stadium. And it was a whole thing. And then he'd go back into the locker room and talk with the kicker and say, okay, you know, the wind's out of the southwest this way, and it would affect your kickoff this way. And that's what Belichick is doing. It's crazy.
Some patriot that Belichick is. I mean, let's enjoy the flyover, shall we?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a football game.
Not if it affects, you know, the score of the game.
Well, it affects my sense of pride.
Now, Aaron Donald's a weird dude. He's a weird dude because he talks to himself a lot. This is him before the game starts.
One game. That's it. One game. Oh, we here. Who's you work for right here? Who's you work for? All that training you did. Everything you do is for this right here. Come on, hey. Come on. You're living the dream. How bad you want it? How bad you want it? How bad you want it? Make the big play, huh? Make the big play. Huh? Controlled aggression. Controlled aggression. Come on. Controlled aggression. Controlled aggression.
All day. Dude.
Yep.
All day.
Be great. Be great. Be great. Nothing less. Come on. Lock in. Lock in.
Go.
Come on. What you here for? What you work for right here? What you train for right here? Come on. That'd be great. You hear me? That'd be great. That'd be great. That'd be great. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. You gotta want it. You gotta want it. You gotta want it. You gotta want it. Make a play. Don't be denied. Find a way. What you work for? What you train for? What you work for? What you play for? Come on. Let's be a champion. Let's be a champion. Let's be a champion.
By the way, that is not cut and edited. That is a minute and 10 seconds straight of him walking around and talking to himself and every once in a while seeing someone high-fiving and then just continuing talking to himself over and over again. And they keep going back to that. And then there'll be another 30-minute segment of him waiting for a play, just talking to himself into it. And then the next one, talking to himself. My man is hopped up, I believe, before the game starts. Dude has a running mouth before the first snap of the game. Well, mm-hmm. Belichick at one point realizes that the Rams are giving him nothing, and they know everything they're going to do. And I believe this is with just a couple of minutes right before Gostkowski kicks the field goal to essentially ice it. Here he is talking to the team, and also Edelman talking to Brady.
They really can't beat us. We just can't screw it up now. If we know they don't got anything, all right? Just make sure we got it right, okay?
There you go. I mean, that's your line.
Hey, ball security. We're going to have to score again. Hey, they can't cover. They can't cover me.
Look, we don't have much left here now. Yeah. We got to get it right.
You got about maybe 15 calls left in this game. Yep. Let's go through and get them right here. Let's just know what we're going to call here. All right, make sure we get the right personnel in the game, and, you know, we know what we're doing. Okay. Yep. All right.
I love that they've been essentially calling out the Rams for a couple of, like, almost like a week now. You heard the guys from, I believe it was the defensive line saying, hey, or it was an anonymous person from the defense saying, we're going to make Jared Goff crap his pants, which essentially they did. And then finally they realized in the fourth quarter, they got nothing. Like, they got nothing left. There's nothing that we don't know that they're going to throw at us. We thought they'd be a little bit more deceptive than they are, but we know everything they're going to do. And then Edelman just being completely honest, saying they can't cover me. They just can't do it. And they just showed, like, highlight after highlight. And as you're watching it again, you're like, dude, he abused Aqib Talib. Roby Coleman, he abused him. But there's one point where he ends up breaking the ankles of Aqib Talib. And on a tackle, he knocks Aqib Talib back about 2 yards. Little Julian Edelman knocks him right out of his shoes. And then you've got, of course, at the very end, Belichick going up after the game is won and talking to Flowers and McCourty and just marveling at what they were able to pull off.
Great.
What's up, Coach?
Way to go, man.
I love you, Coach.
I love you too, man.
I'm telling you,
3 points.
Yes, sir.
Three points.
Great job. 3 points. How bad offense? 3 points.
Another
great
one,
job.
Coach.
3 points. Three points.
By the way, somebody said, I always pictured Bird sounding like Aaron Donald before he starts the day answering the phone.
One game. That's it.
There's
one
the phone.
Game.
Oh. So with all that talking, what's Donald Duber rating?
Who's you work for right here? Who's you work for? All
you should have heard Bird. Did. I wish I could have gotten it on the air, but he had practiced it already when he was talking about the event at Fenway last night that he had to watch.
The crushed ice event?
Yeah, he's like, it's like slush, you know, it's you they skate, and then there's like moguls down the hill. Zoom.
Mm-hmm.
Then they can like hit each other.
They hit each other and knock it out. It's crushed ice. It's the crushed ice event. Everyone loves crushed ice.
Yeah. They make Slurpee.
And then you had, of course, Gronkowski after the game, very happy, talking to Bill Belichick. And Bill Belichick, in the best mood that I've heard him in, almost at any after any Super Bowl.
We're gonna have fun tonight.
Yes, we are. We deserve it.
Damn right.
We deserve it.
Damn right.
We haven't stepped out.
I
haven't stepped out in like 8 months. I gotta step out.
I'm with you, man. Yes. I'm even gonna step out.
Oh, I like.
Whoa, Belichick's gonna step out.
Yeah,
go a little crazy.
It's stepping out into the night.
Yes, stepping out.
Donnie, go ahead.
Hey guys, hey.
Hey, what's up?
That conversation that Aaron Donald was having with himself sounds an awful lot like the same conversation that happens in my head when I'm in bed with my lady and I'm trying not to finish too quickly.
Yeah. One game.
You try not to tip the cap.
One game. That's it. That's it. One game. Yeah.
Oh, oh, no. Yeah. Oops. You almost had a mistake.
Who's you work for right here?
That's right.
Who's unless you work for? All that training you did.
Unless you're some kind of jabroni that wears rubbers. Do you wear rubbers still? No. John says no.
No. My hip game's strong.
Would you get a vasectomy?
Nope.
Nope. I haven't. I don't think I've worn rubbers since. Maybe since college.
Wow.
Yep.
It's pretty good. Can't say that. I cannot say that.
Wuss. All right. So we will be right back.
Felger and Mass afternoons.
I could not have been more wrong about this team from day one. They had all the signs of a team that was going to take that next year off. Important players taking the off season off. There's some internal tension and sort of a give and take and back and forth between the players and the coach. Are resorted to make sort of these desperate personnel moves. They lose the most regular season games they've lost in 9 years. They can't win on the road. They're not a good road team. They're not a good battle-tested team. They have to go on the road for the AFC title game. Like, you add that all up. I did not think they could do it, so I never thought it was going to happen.
Felger and Mass, weekdays at 2. 98.5, The Sports Hub. Listening at home to Toucher and Rich is simple with your Amazon or Google smart speaker.
Oh, I need one of those.
Just say, play 98.5, The Sports Hub.
98.5, The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. If you would like to go to Cuts for a Cause, there's still a chance.
Pucks and Paddles.
Or Pucks and Paddles, my bad. There's still a chance. Go to 98.5thesportshub.com and pick up your tickets. That is tonight at the Royale down there in Boston.
Always a good time.
Always a good time. Mm-hmm. All right, Rich. The Gary Washburn has an article. He's talking about the Celtics, obviously, as he is the beat writer.
It is a weird day, and today's the day that you continue to watch your Twitter timeline to see whether or not Adrian Wojnarowski or that Shams guy is going to leak to the world that a massive trade has been made. Now, there have been some fairly decent-sized trades, not one that's seismic yet. However, everyone is watching for Anthony Davis. Now, this morning we were talking about a new article that Adam Himmelsbach came out with from the Globe that said that despite the Pelicans not returning any of the offers or counter-offering anything that the Lakers are throwing out there, and the Lakers are very publicly offering everything and everybody not named LeBron James, which is absolutely affecting their team. I mean, the morale is in the toilet. You saw how badly they played against the Pacers. They lost by 42 points, which is one of the worst losses in Lakers history or something like that. So things are not turning out the way that they want them to. On the other side of things, the Pelicans have, according to Himmelsbach, reached out to the Celtics to go, hey, I just want to make sure that if we pass on any of these pre-trade deadline offers, that you're going to be there ready to offer us a ton for Anthony Davis. And apparently the Celtics have said, yes, we will give you an explosive offer. That was the term that they used. But we are not going to guarantee any certain specifics of what players or picks or things like that. But just know that it will be indeed explosive. That's according to Adam Himmelsbach. Now, this has just kind of been one of those things that for years now, when people knew that Anthony Davis more than likely might end up being available, it was a given. Celtics are going to go after Anthony Davis. Everything's going to be great. Kyrie's going to be there, blah, 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 blah. But now you've got Kyrie Irving saying that, you know, he's being hesitant when asked whether he's indeed going to resign. And Anthony Davis's father saying that, I would never want my son to be a Celtic because of what they did to Isaiah Thomas. And then on the list of teams that, I know it's ridiculous, that Anthony Davis would resign with, the Celtics aren't one of them. So does that give people cold feet? Should it give Danny cold feet? Apparently not. It's according to all reports, they are still all in. They're all in on this guy. Now, Gary Washburn, however, is one of the few people that I've heard with this opinion, and that is blowing up the roster to get Anthony Davis is a bad idea. And he breaks it down. He says the Celtics are 25-9 since a 10-11 start and have won 10 of their last 11 games since that ghastly three-game losing streak in early January. The Celtics became a different team starting with that home game against the Raptors and have resembled the team expected to reach the NBA Finals. So the question is, why would the president of basketball operations, Danny Ainge, blow up the current roster in pursuit of Davis, who is one of the best players in the league, but one, hasn't reached past the second round of the playoffs in 7 years? I would say he really didn't have a lot around him.
Look at the team he's on.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense. Yeah. I mean, what is he going to do?
And two, would give no assurances he would re-sign with the Celtics after the 2019-2020 season when his contract expires. And he goes through, you know, talking about how his father said that he wouldn't want to play here. He goes, is Ainge offering practically the entire roster besides Kyrie to New Orleans if it waits until the summer? What does that do to the morale of this roster now? And what happens if this current roster reaches the NBA Finals? Does Danny Ainge still blow it up for Davis? Reaching is one thing. Winning is a completely different one.
That's the difference. That's the difference.
Boom!
You can get to the NBA Finals without Davis. You can't win a championship without Davis.
So no. I don't think that going into the playoffs that they're a favorite at all to make the finals.
In the East?
Yeah, given what... the best starting five in the East is now the 76ers.
Oh, well, the Celtics have owned the Sixers. And they're going to continue to do
The Sixers bench is going to do them in the playoffs. The team to watch is Milwaukee. That's the team.
Toronto?
They're far and away the best. You see, Toronto is not happy with what they have. And Rich and I were talking about this beforehand. Toronto just tried to
trade... You guys had a conversation without me?
Yes. Mm-hmm. It was about basketball, so we figured you didn't want to be included.
Did you...
We have the jackets, the B-ball boys.
Yes.
So we just hang out the corner, and you got to know the password to get in.
Right above the trash can with the fire in it.
The password is... Windhorst.
Well, fair enough. Go ahead.
Toronto is trying to trade away.
I'll step away from the conversation.
Just let the B-ball boys do their thing.
Toronto is trying to trade away Kyle Lowry.
Right.
And they're trying to trade away Jonas Valanciunas. And they tried to trade them to Memphis before Memphis is going to trade Gasol to Charlotte. They were trying to get Gasol and Mike Conley. And Gasol's a better player than Valanciunas. And this year, Conley's a much better player than Lowry. And Memphis said, thanks, but no thanks. So Toronto's trying to tinker. Milwaukee's not. Milwaukee knows what they have. I don't think they're going to make a block. Well, watch them do it. I don't think they're going to make a blockbuster deal today. Milwaukee's best team in the East. They're the favorites.
So Washburn continues as, firstly, Jason Tatum, your favorite player, Fred, shouldn't be included in any deal for Davis. Mm. He's 20 years old, is averaging 16.3 points, 6.2 rebounds, almost 2 assists, and 1 steal per game, and remains under his rookie contract. While Davis is in his prime and is a cornerstone player, moving Tatum could burn the Celtics for years. Players such as Tatum should be built around, not sacrificed for a one-year rental. Now, if Ainge can pull off the deal without Tatum, the Celtics could have one of the best trios in the NBA with Davis and Irving. But there are so many ifs. First of all, I don't think that the Pelicans... Although, you know what? If the Pelicans wait till the offseason, I still don't know if anyone could give them a better deal than what the Celtics could offer, even without Jason Tatum.
No.
But those picks are crap now.
They're not crap.
Well, they're a lot worse than they were before.
But we also don't know how the season... There's a lot of ifs. You're right. We don't know
right
where
now,
things are going to end
right
up.
Right now, those picks are meaningless to
right.
me.
Yes. The Sacramento pick. And Sacramento just picked up Harrison Barnes and Alec Burks, two very good players, you know, yesterday. They're going to be good. They're going for it. They're already in the playoffs. I mean, the Celtics picks... right now are like 18 and 26.
Yeah.
And that Memphis pick isn't going to be good until 2021.
And so that
the Clippers pick isn't going to be good for the next two years.
Yeah, those picks don't interest me at all.
So he says, Jaylen Brown is playing his best basketball of the season. Terry Rozier is saying all the right things and playing well when he replaces Irving.
Well, he's gone.
And as much criticism as Hayward has withstood over the past few months, he is shooting nearly 48% for the field, averaging almost 12 points a game with almost 4 rebounds and 3 assists since January 1st.
Those are crazy stats.
Well, I mean, listen, it means he's not garbage. He's getting better.
Yeah,
and that's a nice bench guy.
But
those are
good
bench numbers.
That price tag is difficult.
And you'll never be able to dump it. See, here's what the question is. If you get Davis, you believe you're going to win a championship that year, correct?
Yes.
Well, I think it's not just that. I think that if you get Davis, it means that Kyrie will definitely re-sign.
Okay. Fair
and
enough.
That's important. Because here's the deal. If you trade Jason Tatum and you trade away all those picks and you end up only getting Anthony Davis for 1 year, but it means that you get Kyrie for another 5, to me it's worth it.
Or if you win a championship that year, it's worth it. Winning a championship, would you rather have a good team for 5 years or win a championship?
Well, see, what he's trying to do is he's trying to say that look at what Golden State did, where you had players like, you know, those guys came up through the draft.
Yeah.
And they, so you've got Jaylen Brown, right, who's growing. Okay. You've got Jason Tatum, who's growing.
They got that. The way that Golden State drafted is insanity. How good it was.
Oh, I mean, honestly, they hit on so many different pieces.
So, I mean, let's not pretend that the pieces that they drafted are comparable to what the Celtics
have. Jason Tatum could rise to a level of possibly one of those guys. I think that's an expectation that they could maybe get there. I don't think Jaylen Brown will, but he'll be very good. He'll be a very good player in the league. Mm. I think Marcus Smart is really, truly becoming, like, invaluable to this team.
He was before.
He can shoot threes.
The three-point shooting is a bonus, but he was invaluable before.
So there's those three parts that right there you're taking a look at, and you're wondering if by keeping them for the next few years, whether that would be enough if you have someone like Kyrie Irving. And he even said maybe you make a trade for someone like a DeAndre Jordan or a Wayne Ellington through a buyout, and that makes them even stronger.
DeAndre Jordan with that nice touch around the basket.
Yeah. Right, I mean, obviously.
There's another guy. And the Knicks are going to buy out Enes Kanter today, and that's another guy who's pretty good.
Now, I don't agree with him, with Gary Washburn, just for the point I was making that if you bring in Anthony Davis, okay, maybe you can sell him on staying here, maybe you can't. But let's just say you can't, and you give up Jason Tatum in the process, and that is going to hurt. That's going to suck. But if that means that Kyrie Irving, because you brought in Anthony Davis, is going to sign a brand new contract with the team where he stays here for 4 more years, it's worth it. A
lot of moving parts in July. A lot of moving parts after the season.
Now, worst case scenario is you get Anthony Davis and Kyrie says, "See ya," and he takes off. And then you got Anthony Davis for 1 year, and how are you going to convince him to stick around?
You aren't.
You aren't.
No.
Kyrie
resigns.
Is a madman. Yeah. I mean, he's, you know, we don't know where his head is at. The guy's kind of strange, and his answers aren't enough to really make anyone in Celtics fans feel good about his future here.
This is a very dangerous game that Ainge is playing, because if you have to give up everything to get Davis to match him with Kyrie and Gordon Hayward, and it doesn't work out, everybody could be gone except for Kyrie, and then Kyrie will ask to be traded in 2 years. I mean, this could go horribly wrong. Ainge is betting on himself, and you know what? Ainge has done everything that he's set out to do. He's robbed people with trades. He's gotten all the draft picks. He's drafted well. It all comes to a head this summer. And give Ainge credit. He traded for Kevin Garnett before he really knew if Garnett wanted to stay. And Garnett decided to. And they put on a pretty good run there. But this is the same. It all comes to a head in July. And if Ainge swings and misses, this franchise is in some trouble.
You just got to tell Kyrie that, listen, it's like Rachel and Ross. They were meant to be together, and at the end, they ultimately stayed together.
It is a lot like Friends, which I never watched.
Friends is the worst. By the way, I mentioned that because he has a Friends tattoo, so it was really funny. But it's the worst. And Friends is on an infuriatingly large amount of time. It's on from like 11 a.m. to like 5 on TBS, which used to have New Girl.
Now I see the anger.
So I'll leave it right there.
I get the anger now.
I'll put that down on the table and walk away
mm-hmm.
with my head held high. Whoa! Chris Forsberg knows about what's going on with the Celtics, and we will talk to him in just a moment. Here are the headlines that go on too long.
98.5thesportshub.com is your connection to the world of Boston sports wherever you go. 98.5thesportshub.com. For the latest podcasts, the latest sports news, and for Tetra and Rich, download the 98.5 The Sports Hub app now.
All right, what's going on?
We're efforting our guest, but we were efforting Bird before that, so... before I walked into the studio, I just said to him, can you wait a couple minutes and then call Chris?
It's like, Bird, we need you to call our guest in 2 minutes.
One game. That's it.
Yep.
That's it.
Just getting pumped to call the guest.
He came in to tell Rich that he had a ride to leave, Reed. And he just goes, Rich, go live.
Okay. But I speak Bird, so I immediately knew what he was talking
just
about.
Go live. Chris Forsberg is over there on NBC Sports Boston covering the Celtics. Hello, Mr. Forsberg.
Good
Good morning. I've never been pushed right through so quickly. Yeah, not even a little small talk.
That's right. I mean, Bird is a man on the mission. He joins us, by the way, on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. So here we are at the trade deadline. Obviously, the Anthony Davis news people are waiting on. But aside from that, do you see the Celtics making any subtle changes?
Yeah, so the one thing they could do is obviously they've had a roster spot clogged up all year with Jabari Bird and his legal troubles. So I could see them trying to unclog that spot and make a minor move, but I think even that will be difficult because then another team has to take a guy who is on essentially waiting trial on some serious charges. The optics wouldn't be good, but, you know, the Celtics can send out some money and potentially open a spot, and then they could be, you know, search the buyout market after the deadline, but I don't see a lot of moves that make them better now or help them in the future when they're going to need all their assets this summer if Anthony Davis is still on the market at that point. So I do think it'll be a relatively quiet day. But that being said, like, when all these trades are happening, I sort of picture Danny Ainge sitting there and getting antsy and wanting to do something like everybody else is making moves, so I want to make a move. So I'm sure they'll be diligent in checking what's out there.
Okay, so the reports are this morning that the Pelicans have reached out to the Celtics and basically were like, all right, guys, I just want to make sure we're cool for this summer, right? I mean, you're not going to walk away. There's going to be a package that's going to make us worth not doing anything before the trade deadline. And I've heard the term, I think it was the Globe that used the term, that they said there was going to be an explosive package waiting for them. However, is there any kind of package that you think the Celtics could offer the Pelicans that they would accept for Anthony Davis that does not involve Jason Tatum?
I mean, they're certainly going to try. Like, so, I think that's a hard conversation because if you call Danny Ainge right now and say, well, is Jason Tatum going to be there? Like, I don't know if Danny Ainge can unequivocally promise that that's going to happen. I think he has to say just what I believe he said is listen, everything is going to be available. And we can talk, but you can't just necessarily say that if they call July 1, like, it's just to finalize this deal and Jason Tatum goes. I think the Celtics start with the hope that, you know, Jaylen Brown and picks and whatever else you have to do to make those salaries match is enough to get the conversation going. But I do think eventually the Pelicans are holding out for that. That's probably star in the making. And so I do think it's going to take Jason Tatum. I think the other trouble I have with this deal is that, you know, it adds up quick. So if you start with Tatum, even if you
hello,
uh-oh,
hard, or you've got to get really creative, it's a lot to give up. And yet, ultimately, for a top five player, those are the pain points you have to endure.
Okay, is this a trade that you believe is the right thing to do? Just stockpiling all these. Let's say Tatum is involved, and maybe even Jaylen Brown. Is that a trade with a guy who is said, and his father has said, that he doesn't want him to be a Celtic, and he's come flat out? Now, everything can change in a year and a half's time, but is that a trade that you think the Celtics should make?
Yeah, ultimately, this is why you're diligent with your draft picks and stockpiling future assets and developing young players. You have to put yourself in position when elite talent becomes available, you pounce. And we've seen Danny do this throughout the years, whether it was when KG became available or even Kyrie. The Celtics were in position to make that move. And listen, it's not an easy decision. There's certainly something to the idea that if the Celtics go on a run this year, you know, they're going to be further tempted to just ride this thing out with the core that they got, especially if Durant goes to New York or Golden State somehow falls apart with guys leaving. And so it's not an easy decision. But ultimately, you need top-end talent to win in the NBA. And I think as hard as it would be to part with your young talent and to always wonder what might have been if you had rode this thing out and could you be a long-term contender for decades, you know, Anthony Davis and Kyrie Irving give you a chance to win titles immediately. And you do take the risk about Anthony Davis and his future. I do think if we get to 3 o'clock today, the narrative is going to start shifting. And, you know, Rich Paul and we'll maybe start easing things up, and so all of a sudden it'll be, well, you know, Anthony Davis never came out and flat out said that he didn't want to go to Boston, that he's always been intrigued by their culture and what's going on there, and Anthony Davis Sr. will change his tune. I think that it's just right now it's a factor of he wants to be traded really bad. He can't come to Boston until July. They're doing everything in the power to get him to L.A., a destination he clearly has a desire to go to. But if that doesn't work, then I don't think he's like looking at Boston going, oh, I'm definitely not going to sign there.
All right, Chris, the draft picks that the Celtics are supposed to have in the first round next year have changed dramatically over the last couple of weeks with the Clippers trade and Memphis is trying to unload Marc Gasol. I mean, all these picks don't look nearly as valuable as they did at the beginning of the season. Will that dissuade New Orleans in any way, do you think?
No, I don't think so, because I think the more attractive part is going to be Tatum and the known talent. I do think it might force you. So, you know, I've been the staunch on, all right, if you're giving up Tatum and Brad, you don't want to have to give up someone like Marcus Smart as well. It just adds up quickly. You know, if those picks were really good, I think it's easier to sell them on taking less what I guess we could call back-end talent on that trade. But now that the picks are sort of, you know, going into the late first round or falling out of the lottery, it gets a little bit more difficult to sell them on the picks you're giving. I guess the one good thing for Boston is that Memphis pick could be a real gem. If they end up trading Conley and Gasol today, that puts them in rebuild mode. There's a really good chance that the protections loosen there, that you're going to get a real gem. Suddenly that becomes the centerpiece instead of maybe the Kings pick, which is now trending more towards the late teens. But those are still valuable. Like until you know what those are, draft picks are still incredibly valuable. Even that Clippers pick, if it rolls into next year, as a lottery protected first, it's still valuable in the trade market. It's just not as easy to sell teams on taking those picks now as it might have been a couple weeks ago.
Okay, so one of the weirder things that I read yesterday involving Kyrie Irving and the way he acted a couple of days ago in New York when he basically said, come and talk to me on July 1st. This was a theory that was thrown out there, which seems to have been backed up by several of the players last night, is that Kyrie Irving is such a massive fan of Kobe Bryant. And I guess before Kobe Bryant retired, he sat down with Kyrie Irving and told him that in order to make a regular team great, there has to be some sort of conflict inside of the locker room on purpose, some sort of way of making your teammates slightly uncomfortable. And now we're hearing it that maybe Kyrie Irving is doing all of this on purpose to piss off the guys he's playing with. Now, when you first read that, I started to laugh. But several guys, including Marcus Smart, Terry Rozier, and Al Horford, were all asked about it last night. And all three of them were saying, yeah, I can totally see that. And I know that that's something that Kobe Bryant had told Kyrie Irving. What the hell's going on? Do you buy into that at all?
No, not really. One, no one should listen to Kobe Bryant's advice. He's ruined Jason Tatum's shot selection at the start of the year. And now this he's trying to implode the Celtics from the outside by giving Kyrie terrible advice. There's something to the notion that a leader has to be firm and be willing to have uncomfortable conversations. And that probably is something that, you know, the Celtics needed in order to get where they've gotten right now. And there's probably still has to be more difficult conversations about roles and all that. But I don't think Kyrie sat there like rubbing his hands maniacally and was like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get these young guys so mad at me that I'm going to have to call LeBron James and, you know, cause all this drama. I think Kyrie has admitted as much that he has made missteps in the way he's led, but I don't think any of it was intentional. It's one of those things where I think Celtics players are sitting there, and you know, as a reporter, I know I do this sometimes. I'll walk up and kind of steer them in the direction I want to go in with a question, like, you know, you like macaroni and cheese, right? I mean, the guy's not going to say no. He's going to say yes, and then elaborate on why. And so I think you throw your theory out there. It makes some sense in terms of, like, a team, again, needs conflict in order to kind of rally together, but I don't think it's intentional. I think it's just Kyrie has made missteps as a leader, and he's acknowledged that, and the team has actually responded well to it.
So then what happened in New York? Like, what was that all about? Because, you know, all the stuff that you said happened before that, you know, him admitting mistakes and seeing somewhat, you know, mature, and I'm going to, you know, take the ownership and all that. And then all of a sudden he's like, come talk to me on July 1st.
So my theory has always been Kyrie does not like being dragged into other people's business. And when this whole Anthony Davis situation forced people to both speculate about his future and who he wants to play for, and all of a sudden, you know, is his future in Boston any different than it was before? I think Kyrie gets very upset because he hasn't said anything that's changed. Now, listen, if he had just come out and said, I nothing has changed about that, I want to be in Boston, like, that's still the plan, then he squashes all of this. But Kyrie just doesn't do that. You know, when everyone expects him to sort of zig, he zags. And, you know, while it would have been easier, he's not going to give you the satisfaction of telling you the answer, the easy answer, or what we expect him to say. And I also think, you know, he's sort of all over the map at times about he starts on one thought and he goes to another thought. I think it's hard to parse sometimes what he's saying. when you take what he said that morning, what he said that night, I think his frustration is more being dragged into these conversations and people trying to tell you what he's thinking than necessarily any frustration he has in Boston. Again, he didn't handle it great, but I never walked away with the sense that Kyrie was just like anything had happened that changed his mind about wanting to be in Boston long term. And I think the other thing, honestly, is that he understands that by not committing 100%, he sort of puts pressure on the Celtics to continue to build. And I'm sure he wants to play with Anthony Davis. And, you know, if the Celtics are on the fence at all and they know their star player wants to make that move, well, that puts a little bit more pressure on Danny Ainge in the front office to further explore that deal and be willing to give up those parts to make that deal down the road.
What's your Uber rating?
4.94.
Oh, that is
wow.
I know the one time I got marked down, and it was so infuriating that if I ever see that driver again, I don't know what I'll do. I'll shake my fist really, really angrily.
What did you do? What do you think you did to get your score?
No, I know what I did. So I was outside TD Garden, and I had to go over to Fenway Park because Tommy Heinsohn was like throwing out a first pitch or something, and the guy could not get to me because of the stupid construction. And so I called him and I said, "Hey, listen, I'm right over here on this corner," like waving at each other, and then literally, because he wasn't moving, he flipped me the bird, peeled out, and the next day I noticed my rating went down like a half point. So he gave me a zero.
Jesus.
And so now for like 4 years, I've been trying to overcome this one dude knocking me down. I could be a perfect five.
You can't dispute a rating. That's what you should be able to do in a situation.
I feel like, isn't this like, aren't you supposed to throw out your high score, your low score, and then use the mean, you know, but no.
Everyone with your big scores, you're a bunch of squares. All right, Chris Forsberg from NBC Sports Boston. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right, we'll be right back.
Listen, watch, and react in real time. Toucher and Rich are on twitch.tv. Just follow the Sports Hub. Sports Hub.
One game. That's it. That's it. One game. Oh, we here. Who you work for right here? Who you work for? All that training you did. Everything you do is for this right here. Come on, hey. Come on. You're living the dream.
I bet you want it. Aaron Donald at the Super Bowl. I was watching TV yesterday. They had on My 600-Pound Life, where there is a woman that she weighed 680 pounds. And the good thing about that is, like, she goes to this doctor and he goes, I want you to walk a half an hour a day. And she goes back like a month later and she's dropped like 150 pounds from walking.
Wow.
Yeah, just because she like didn't walk. So, I mean, if you're that fat, I mean, immediate returns just by walking around.
That's got to be incredibly difficult on your knees. I mean, think about just the amount of weight, just to walk for half an hour.
Plus all the male attention. I mean, that's got to be a little bit hard when everyone's throwing roses at your feet.
I can't watch those shows.
They make you feel better about yourself.
No, they make me feel awful. Like, right. Depressing.
She did a rich double dip.
Oh, what's that?
She went to the fast food place, and then she turned around and went to the Bell.
Well, that's just the norm. I mean, if you ever happen to be in that like corner of heaven where you're on a street that has more than one fast food drive-through, which in Boston seems to be the most rare thing, it's like seeing a
not
unicorn.
Not if you go out by where Wallach lives. That's where they let anything go.
Yeah, you got to go out to Natick. You know, the Street of Dreams out there.
Oh, yeah. You want it? We got it. But Natick just said, hey, you've gone far west enough. Hello, property values dropping.
But if you are lucky enough, man, if you're lucky enough, you drive through the old Taco Bell, get yourself a couple of tacos, and then if there's a Chick-fil-A right there, you hit the old Chick-fil-A and
you have to be happy. Chick-fil-A is coming to downtown, right?
I can't wait.
I mean, that's Boylston Street. That's right up the street from you.
It's not, and not only is there going to be, it's by 30 miles the closest Chick-fil-A to me. I think the one in Dedham is the closest
The one out where I am is the closest one to you, I think.
What is that, like 20 miles?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's like 20 miles
Route 9,
is the closest
right
Chick-fil-A.
Route 9, yeah. Right near the Target, baby.
Route 9, you go under a bridge.
Under the Speen Street overpass,
and then all of a sudden, everything that's not allowed anywhere else
Correct.
Is allowed. And it's like the Old West.
Well, there's a Taco Bell that's opening downtown, but I just think it's a cruel joke. because there's been a sign up there for maybe 6 months that, by the way, they took down like a Subway and they're opening a Taco Bell there, and there's not even been one sign of construction. Yet I see all these news stories, Taco Bell, Downtown Crossing, Taco Bell, and not one sign of that thing like even remotely getting built. And it's just teasing me, and I'm getting taunted.
As soon as I moved to Newton, they took down the Taco Bell Kentucky Fried Chicken that was right by Newton North High School, because I bet you it was some fascist that said, oh, you can't have junk food by the school. Meanwhile, there's like burrito places and pizza places.
The hybrids have gotten better. Like the ones that split, it used to be you only got like half the menu at both. And I've been to many a Kentucky Fried Chicken, Taco Bell, where you get 90% of the bell
menu. Can go off menu, too. You can go get a Baja Chicken Chalupa. They're not afraid to still make it.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. You go off the menu. I mean, you got to know a guy.
I bet they treat you with a little more respect in class.
Obviously, not like Uber, who gives me bad ratings. Yeah, when you go like, hey, come here, like, Sandy. Let's go off the menu a little bit.
And all of a sudden, the guy with the monocle comes from behind the counter and the sous chef comes out
and goes, yes, sir. Here's my take on the chicken, Baja Chicken Chalupa.
I'll make you something fresh in the back.
Yeah. I mean, you know you're getting the freshest ingredients when you go off menu. No commercials here, just the headlines, and then we will come back with a harrowing story of love lost.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.